lights up his mercy and love at the feet.
Sing it again now with all our heart.
We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of
us in worship and praise. Amen. We just want you to be able to let go of whatever's troubling you. Amen. And reach out. Grab a hold of Jesus. Amen. He'll never let you down. Amen. I believe He's got the answer for all your needs. Let's sing that song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that song, key of C, "The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower."
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I just run into the
in the morning to make sure I got everything in the right key, and I guess I just, my morning voice and my warm-up voice is a little different, amen, so I apologize for that. We'll get it going here. Let's sing that song, "I've Been Redeemed by Love Divine."
I've been redeemed by love divine. Christ is mine, all to give. I now resign. I have been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to give. I now resign. I have been
I've been redeemed. My love divine. Oh, glory, glory. Christ is mine. All through him I now reside. I have been redeemed. Amen. Let's sing that song, When the Redeemed Are Gathered In. I am thinking of a rapture in that blessed home on high. No gathering in. How we'll praise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow and from sin. How we shout and how we sing. Yes, we indeed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. We indeed are gathering in. Oh, that city will be grown when the redeemed are gathering in. Yes, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing. Yes, when the redeemed are gathering in. Story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow. I will shout and I will sing. When the redeemed are gathered in, then the Savior will be borders to prepare the banquet hall. When the redeemed are gathered in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. Are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. How we'll shout, how we'll sing. When the redeemed are gathering in. Sing it again now. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. That song means so much to me, amen. One day we'll see him face to face. All those cares of life, we'll just forget all of that, amen. Hallelujah, that'll be the day, amen. Why don't we change the order of our song service? We'll take our prayer request at this time. Musicians can play something softly. I'm going to let you have your seats for just a minute to rest your legs. I have several very special needs we want to be remembering in prayer. First of all, we want to remember Sister Angie's mother. She's having a lot of pain. Please keep her in your prayers. Amen. God would touch her body. I want to remember Sister Carrie Whitlock in prayer. She's suffering with bronchitis. Please remember her. I want to remember Sister Sarah Buchanan in prayer. Brother Keith reported she's doing much better, but she's still having a lot of pain and soreness. Please remember her in prayer as well. Amen. Remember the Hughes family. The Troy and Sister Connie are away traveling. Remember Sister Sarah Visaki in prayer as well. She's dealing with some sickness. Remember Brother Joseph Drum in prayer. I believe he is feeling sick as well. Please remember my family. The little ones are dealing with the stomach virus. If you'd pray for them. Want to remember a very special need from Brother Wayne and Sister Faye for some family members. Their great-grandson Paxton Price was transferred to Little Rock Children's Hospital this morning. He's dealing with croup. Man, so let's remember him. Also, especially remember their niece, Kim Neal. She was bitten severely by a bulldog while she was delivering her mail. And she is healing physically, but she's suffering with a lot of emotional stress and post-traumatic stress disorder. Amen. Let's remember her in prayer. My heart certainly goes out to that need. I can remember once I was attacked by a dog, and it's nothing. It can be a very terrifying thing. Amen. So I remember that especially in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Take these needs before the Lord. Brother Stephen, would you come forward to take these needs? Amen. You have any unspoken prayer requests? Father, uplift your hands. God knows your needs. Amen.
Amen. I was thinking before the service, I don't know if you remember or not, but yesterday was Luke's birthday. And I was thinking, is also Brother James Finley's birthday, April 13th. And I don't know if you remember him or not, or if you had a chance to meet him. But he was a special guy. And there was no doubt, he always would come up, he'd sit in the front row, there was no doubt about Brother James as to whether or not he was happy to be in church. He was so happy to be a Christian. And he lived a really, really difficult life. He lived a really hard life. Very simple one, but a very difficult one. And when he would come in, he was so happy to be in the presence of the Lord. And he gave being in this presence his absolute best. There was no doubt to whether that was true or not. He loved being in church. He worshiped the Lord with every fiber of his being. I think that's the way we should be this morning. He believed in the Lord, and he believed that he could affect his life, and he did. So I ask you the same question. Do you believe that the Lord is real today? Or do you believe that he can heal those who need healing? I do. Do you believe that he can speak to you this morning? Then let's pray. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Lord, we all believe that you are real and that you deal in the lives of your people. And although it may not be in the way that we expect, we choose to believe. And so, Lord, for these next few moments, we give them into your hands. And we ask that you'd visit us in a special way. That you'd answer the many questions that we have. That you'd quiet the many fears that we always seem to have. And, Lord, these needs that we have brought before you, especially, we ask that you'd move on their behalf. Lord, we ask that you'd give healing to those who need healing. To those who are away, may your presence be with them as well. To those who are dealing with all the number of issues that we face as human beings, Lord, we pray for them as the body of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would touch them, Lord. We give you this service and we give you this time. Do with it as you please. And may you have the preeminence. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. May I have your seats? We have a couple specials today. I believe Brother Keith has a special for us, and also the choir will be singing today. So as Brother Keith is making ready, I'd like to sing that song, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The sun comes up, it's a new dawn.
Whatever may pass and whatever.
time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Oh, sing it now.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like ever before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Sing it again now. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Brother Keith, make his way at this time. Hallelujah. I think I've gotten so used to using this microphone here, I feel like I'm chained to this one. Amen. Y'all forgive me if I drop in and out. Hallelujah.
I just want to say it is so good to be here with you all this morning. I've missed you all so much. But I'm going to tell you what, your prayers touched heaven. And, you know, I was sitting there this week, and you don't realize just how important your mouth is until you're not able to sit down in front of a plate of tacos anymore. Or you're trying to come up with many different ways to configure Jell-O. But I want to try to sing this song. I just want to praise the Lord this morning because I love Him so much. And the only way that I know to praise Him is through a song. If y'all can help me out with this song. If this song, I'm pretty sure it's in the database. You know, the only thing I have to offer God is a life that's broken into a million pieces. That's all I can give Him. Brother Steve, it was priceless to Him. So the only thing I know to do in return is just to serve Him. But I'm going to serve Him because I love Him. So if you know this old song, just help me sing it this morning.
I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given oh,
that first verse to him again now.
Oh, I will serve thee because I love thee.
Yes, Lord.
You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me.
Oh, sing that first part of that again. I will serve thee.
Oh, I will serve thee because I love thee.
You have given life to me.
You have given life to me.
Appreciate that beautiful special. Amen. As the choir makes their way forward, why don't we just sing that song, Father in Heaven.
Father in Heaven, we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established. As your people declare your mighty word, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and yet to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty,
now.
Oh, Father in Heaven, we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our presence. As your people declare your mighty word, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty,
the sun to rise and brings the earth new life in every being. Jesus, it is you who turns the the day tonight and watches me as I begin to dream. Jesus, it is you who brings me food for my table, who cares for all of my needs, who walks the road with me, has grown with me through all that I have been. Jesus, it is you. My guilt on his shoulders.
Appreciate that beautiful song. Appreciate Sister Laura and everyone involved in the choir. Wow, that's amazing. I believe all hearts and minds are ready for the word. Amen. Why don't we all stand? I'd like to ask our deacons to come forward and take up our morning offering. As the pastor makes his way forward, I'd like to sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Man, we just want God to open our eyes today. Amen. See what He has in store for us in His word. Brother Jeff, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today. Father, I pray, Lord, bless this service, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering, Father.
Oh, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Shining in the light of your glory. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that we are in a place where we can see you, not as the world sees, but see you through the eyes of understanding and revelation, Lord, that you have given to us, especially in this last day. But Lord, there are so many things to be revealed, and you've been faithful, Lord, in being the great teacher and the great unveiler among us. Pray today, Lord, that you would just take this day. We give it to you like an offering. We give it to you, Lord, like something that is sacrificed already, and we give it to you and just say, Lord, come and bless us with your presence. Because when you come, Lord, the atmosphere is sanctified. There's a special presence, Lord, that is around us, Lord, whenever you draw near. And as we enter into that presence, Lord, I pray that you would release to us the things that we have need of today. And there are many, Lord, who have requests. Many of them have been mentioned. Some are private and personal. But, Lord, you know them all. And you're one, Lord, who's able to minister to all. So we commit the people in faith to you today, trusting, Lord, in your power and your grace and mercy to us. We ask, Lord Jesus, now that you would just anoint the word. And we'll give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We'll let you take your seats this morning. God bless you. We appreciate each and every one of you here today. And I'd like to say a special word of thanks to our choir and the wonderful job that they did. Thank you, Sister Laura. And I always enjoy the specials, and I especially enjoy our choir and the great talent that comes together when they sing and the anointing that comes with that. And we appreciate that very much. And I applaud them because they're a blessing to the people, a blessing to me. A couple of very quick announcements here that we want to give you today, this morning, and we welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. It's certainly good to see all of you and have all of you with us today. Good to have Sister Sylvester with us today. God bless you, Sister Doris. And I believe you're on your way to Guyana. Is that right? Soon? No. But we're sending some players over, right, for the folks over there. And we'd like to donate those players to you. Sister Doris, those are the MP3 players that play the message, and she's wanting to get some over to family and folks in Guyana, so we'd like to be able to contribute those to her. Good to have you with us today. Good to have Sister Airwood with us today. God bless you, Sister Sandy. It's been a while, but we are honored to have you with us today, and those other two need chaperones, so it's good that you came along and have you with us today. Sister Christy and Sister Amber are not here either today. I don't know whether they got mentioned tonight, but both of them are not feeling well, and we want to remember them in prayer. Also, too, my wife and I have our schedule, Lord willing, to leave tomorrow for Europe. We're going to be dedicating a church in the country of Norway, Brother Per Johansson's church over there, and special meetings over the time of Easter. Easter meetings will be held here, obviously, with Brother Aaron. He'll be coming in this week. And trust that they will be a blessing to you as well. Provided we will be leaving, Lord willing, providing we don't get blown away. They're calling for dire weather over the next 24 hours, up, especially up our way in the mountain up there. wanted to say also it's great to have the Swaffords here. God bless you. And good to have them with us today. And we should announce that there's a couple of special birthdays this week. Steve Coffey has a birthday today. Steve, we appreciate you very much, and may the Lord richly bless you and give you a wonderful day, and whatever you want to eat today, you can have, because calories don't count on your birthday. April 17th is Sister Shirley's birthday this week coming up, and April 18th is Brother Joel Franklin's birthday as well. We have our trip coming up to Israel, and this is I think it helps for me to say that despite the headlines and things that go on in the news, Israel is a safe place because we've had a surge in people who are wanting to go. one of the most special, I would have to say, one of the most special pieces of real estate in all of God's creation is this piece right here, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, and it is a place where the Jews still gather. It is a portion of Solomon's temple, which is still intact. It's the part that Titus did not destroy when he came through and destroyed the temple in AD 70, and it is therefore a very, very special place to Jews and Muslims as well, and of course Christians, and a very, very special place. And we're just getting excited, and lots of interest, lots of folks thinking about coming over with us. Last thing I wanted to say is that we have a special meeting tonight. We're going to do a special missionary presentation and just share some things with you that are happening. And I trust that that will also be a blessing as well. And if you have not read the update that I sent out, it would be good for you to take a look at that, because then tonight will make a little bit more sense when we talk about things that are happening. So if you would do that, that would be great. Good to have Brother Keith back with us today. And we still miss Sister Sarah, but it's good to have her other half with us today. So God bless you. And this family right here, good to have you with us, whoever you are. Good to have the Stevenses back with us, and may the Lord bless you. Let's stand to our feet this evening and this morning, and let's take a reading from the Scripture in 1 John chapter 5. Everybody ready for the Word? I know that whenever He comes near, He never fails. He never disappoints. There's always good things that come from His presence, and so we're going to trust for that as well today in our service and our study of the Scripture, and we're talking about end time faith and the unique situation we find ourselves in, and all of these things are concluding for the Gentiles and opening up again for the Jewish people. In 1 John chapter 5, and we'd like to read verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if you ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessing on the reading of the Word and the hearing of the Word. May it build the right kind of faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've come to believe that everything that we have need of in this life, for this journey, as Christians, is given. Everything that you have need of to get from here to there is given. The things we want, very often we have to fight for, we have to work for. But the things you have need of to get you to a new body, I believe, are already given to us. Sometimes the key to making all of this work is to have faith and confidence in the things that God has promised. And that's where sometimes the enemy fights hardest, is to cause us to doubt and to question the validity or the truth of what God has promised for us. And I think what it's going to take before we leave here is an unshakable, an unmovable confidence in the character of God and the promises of God. I said that I believe that what it's going to take for the bride of Christ before we leave here is an unshakable faith and an unshakable confidence in the character and the promises of God. It is not necessary that you physically be in this church or any one particular church. I just believe that you had to be in the right place to hear the right thing so that the right faith is created in your heart and you're in tune and walking in harmony with God. And so therefore, it is important for us to think about all that God has promised to us. And what I simply trying to do over these last couple of services here is to talk a little bit about this subject of faith and maybe look at it a slightly different way so that we can have a confidence in how we approach God and how we come to God, because it is important for us to come to God, but it is important for us to come with the right attitude and the right approach to God. Now, I have a couple of grandchildren. I have wonderful grandchildren, and six, as a matter of fact, six to be exact. And recently, one of them were at my house, and we were having dinner, and I got up to get something for myself, and I think for my wife, and one of the kids said, "Hey, get me this." And I just kind of stopped and turned around. And I said, "I do not take orders from people who are shorter than 4 feet." And they realized all of a sudden it wasn't that what they asked for was wrong, but the way they asked for it was wrong. And it's important for kids to understand that, you know, there is a right way and a wrong way to petition an elder for something. And you know what? That's still correct. That's still all right. And I think that is important for us as well in terms of how we come to God, to come to Him with the right attitude and the right approach. And if you don't mind, give me a couple of minutes on this subject. Is that all right? We just kind of work our way into this. Now, there's a vast difference between living in the Old Testament without the Holy Ghost and living in the New Testament with the Holy Ghost. There's a big, big difference. There are many things about that subject that we could talk about. But certainly, the Jewish people and the people of God back in the old days, they kind of had to be in a certain place in order to hear the law and to realize that they had violated the law. They had to be somewhere, because the law was stated, the law was given by the prophets, and the law was given in the synagogue. And they were reminded of the law when they went to hear the reading of the word and the preaching of the word and so forth in their worship years ago. But when they were alone, they never had what a believer today has. And that is that inside teacher. And that inside teacher is not only one who reminds us of the boundaries or the standards that God has, but is able to even convict you when we violate those standards. And when we see no remorse, when we see no conviction, when we see no checking going on at all, it's kind of a scary thing. We want our kids to have an experience with God so that they have that, because there will come a time when they are alone and they're in a situation where mom and dad and pastor and church is not around. And so therefore, they need to have something. And God supplied that in giving us the true baptism of the Holy Spirit, in giving us the Holy Spirit kind of as something we can carry with us. It's portable, right? Have with us wherever we go. Whether you're in a plane high above the earth, or whether you're asleep, whether you're in church, or whether you're in school. It doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. And it means that also as well, and forgive me for being simplistic this morning in this approach, but it also means as well, as Brother Branham taught us, that you can have a conference with this Holy Spirit anytime at all. And anytime there's a need, anytime there's a request or something that arises in your life, you can have a conference with Him. You can knock on His door and He'll answer. Now, He may not always give you the response you're looking for. And my goodness, isn't it a terrible thing when your theology disagrees with God's? But I will tell you something, that He hears the prayers we make, as we just read in the Scripture. Now, let me just preface this a little bit here with a couple of statements, and we'll come back to the subject of asking here again. I read this last Sunday where Brother Branham talked about the shadows of things. And this is like Old Testament, New Testament thinking here as well. If I never saw my hand but saw the shadow, I know I would have had five fingers. He said, And that's the way that you have to watch the scripture. Types of the Old Testament, it foreshadows this. So they had something in the Old Testament which foreshadowed something, but they didn't really have the real thing until God fulfilled his promises and came to where we are. Jesus, and Brother Branham gives this example, that Jesus said that Sodom was the foreshadow of the end time now. So we look back and we read about Sodom and how it was. We don't need to guess or wonder about what that was really like to live in Sodom. You just look around. Amen. Look around in our world. And it's getting to the point where you wonder how long God's going to allow this thing to go on. And the very scripture that promised Sodom, Jesus said, would repeat itself. Brother Bram said, don't miss it. So the shadow is a definitive thing. The shadow definitely indicates that there's something. It may not be the real, but it definitely indicates that there's something real somewhere. So when we look back at Sodom and see that in the Old Testament, that was something that we could have an understanding of what it was like when you have a godless people. But there's also a real that's to come that's even going to be greater or larger than that, that is going to come to pass in the last day. Now, let me just stop for a minute and take your finger, if you don't mind, and go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I read this last Sunday, and I want to just revisit it again here, because it just comes back in my heart. I exhort, therefore, that first, all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Supplications and prayers and intercessions, those are forms of asking. We are to pray for or supplicate God for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. God's intent was never for us to live in fear in this earth. God made the earth a peaceful place. God made the earth a beautiful place. God made the earth a place where all nature exists in harmony and operates together. And that's what God intended. And I believe that's what we'll come back to. So Paul is actually saying, and he's saying this to the believers in the early church here, that you should pray that somehow or another that even your worldly, ungodly leaders would be affected by the Spirit of God by intercessory prayer, so that, you know what, they may even make decisions that make it better for the people who live in that area. I mean, that's what he's actually telling the people to pray for, because that's good and acceptable in the sight of God, because that's closer to the nature of God and the ideal of God. But now, you say, Brother Barry, and when I mentioned to you that, last Sunday I said, are you implying that we should pray for our civic leaders and mayors and governors and so forth? Well, yes. But now remember as well, and I didn't mention this last Sunday, remember as well, there comes a time, like in Sodom that we read here, where the only safe place was barred behind your door. Right? Remember Lot and his family? Outside of that front door, there was nothing but Sodom out there. And he barricaded himself and took the angels back inside his front door. In the days of Sodom, when judgment is hanging overhead, because judgment was hanging overhead when Lot took those angels inside of his house, right? There has to be a safe place for the people of God. Otherwise, God would not have left us here. God would not have left us here vulnerable to death and destruction. There has to be a safe place. And I believe this church is a safe place. I believe your home should be a safe place. It should be a place where you can close the door and separate yourself from Sodom, which exists right outside your front door. And you should strive to make your home that way. But you still feel for the people that are out there. I know a lot of good people that are out there that are deceived, that have got like a hood over their eyes, and they can't see what you can see. And I often pray that, Lord, help me to say something that will help somebody see something that will move them to a safer place than where they are. Because we don't live in a very safe world. We don't live in a very sensible world. And we're reminded of that every single day. But this is what Paul said, that to live in peace and to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, that is a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with you praying for that in whatever way you can to make your house that kind of a place and to make your church that kind of a place and to make your family outings that kind of an event. Are you with me? But also to be able to say something to affect people in your world, your community, or your class, or whatever else, to affect people by saying something good that's going to help them move closer to the kingdom instead of farther away from the kingdom. You're not responsible for making everybody bright, but hey, it's a good thing when you make the atmosphere around you, the world around you, a better place by what you bring to that world. Am I making sense? Because it's God's will, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So as we said about the Dead Sea is a place where everything in it is dead. It's got death. I mean, it's such a unique place because I've been to just about all the oceans of the world. But the Dead Sea is an incredible place because everything is in it is dead. And the reason it is, not that the water is any different, but the reason that it is because nothing flows out. And you cannot live a lively Christian life by just having everything come in and learning and absorbing everything and allowing nothing to flow out. God made you to be able to witness. God made you to be able to reflect His glory. God made you to be able to reflect His character. Is that right? You're not here just to be an audience. You're not here just to be a spectator. You're not here just to be a sponge and try to absorb all you can and try to mentally, remember it all. That's not it at all. But you're meant to let the character and the beauty and the mercy and the grace and the love of Christ flow right through you out to a world that's dying right in your very presence. And so we are to be good. We are to be unashamed of the standards of God. We are to be, quick to have an answer for the hope that lies within us. All those things are Scripture. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. Now look at this quote with me. I put it right up front here as I want you to take a look at this with me. It's 1965. The last couple of months that Brother Branham's on the earth here. And look what he says. I said to the people, I'm getting to a spot. Now this is Brother Branham saying this. I'm getting to a spot that I need more faith. And that's what I'm home for now, is to get a new burst of faith. He's almost done. I mean, his ministry is almost done. When you think about the great things that have been accomplished in his ministry, it's extraordinary that Brother Branham would say he needs faith. But let me add this little piece to it here and say this. That when you're climbing a ladder, the only thing that satisfies is when you get to the top. If we're wanting to climb over the wall, if we're wanting to get on the roof, the only thing that satisfies is when we get to the top. When you're somewhere on the ladder, somewhere in between the bottom and the top, you're still wanting to climb a little further. I believe it's the same way when it comes to faith. That no matter how much we have, and no matter how much we know, no matter how much we've witnessed, no matter how much we've experienced, you still feel somehow in your heart, we're not really where we belong. We're not really where we should be. We want to go a little higher. How many of you would like to go a little higher today? How many of you would like to rise up just a little bit higher? How many of you would like to get a little closer to God? And the way to do that is to go up towards Him, not away from Him, but to go towards Him. And so here's Brother Branham, despite all of what he's done and seen and experienced over his 55 years. But now here he's saying he wants to have a new burst of faith. God's soul look like when you pray for people, he said you apologize. In other words, we're a little hesitant or draw back. Mr. Devil, would you please move over and let me? Nothing. Faith has got muscles and hair on its chest. And when it speaks, everything else shuts up. Don't go in and say, Mr. Devil, would you move out? Would you mind? He said, get out of here. I'm a son of God, commissioned of God. Leave them alone. That moves. You have no apology to the devil. You have no reason to make an apology to the devil. Nothing to do with him. You have nothing to do with him. You don't have to feel sorry for him. You don't have to apologize to him. You don't have to say, excuse me. You have a right as a son of God to take the territory that Jesus Christ bled and died for that is yours. Peace is yours. Contentment is yours. Joy is yours. A sanctified, holy life is yours. Come on, somebody say amen. It's yours already. And you don't need to apologize to Satan when you want to possess that land. That's your land. And you should rise to the occasion and possess it. And you don't need to ask politely. You just need to get in there and claim what's yours already. Now remember now, he's talking about speaking to the enemy. He's not talking about speaking to God. There is a difference. So we don't come in and start claiming or demanding from God that he do certain things. But we can do that when it comes to the enemy. Notice what he's saying now. Not ashamed of the word of God. Not ashamed of your commission. Not ashamed of who we are. We're not ashamed of the word of God. We're not ashamed of your commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? They shall take up deadly things that do not harm them. Pray for the sick. Raise the dead. All those other things that God commissioned us to do. And he says, we're not ashamed of who we are. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of who we are. I'm tickled to death. Because on May 6th, I'm going to go and take my interview and my test to become an American citizen. I am not an American citizen. I am a Canadian citizen, still hold a Canadian passport. And that's sometimes why I say A. And the laws have changed. I could never hold two passports in the past. The immigration law is a very unique thing. Immigration is a big problem in our world, because we will always have nations that are in conflict, nations that are in turmoil, and people want to move from one place to another. Migrations and immigration are a very big thing. They're even a very big thing in the scripture. And up until now, you could not hold two passports. So on the application for my Canadian passport renewal, they always ask this question, do you hold a passport of another country? And up until now, if you check that box yes and said I have an American passport, then I would not be issued a Canadian one. But they took that question away, so therefore you can actually hold two passports from two different nations. I can't travel with two, but I can travel with one. So in order to accomplish that, I had to go through a very lengthy process, and I'm thankful I didn't have to get out and line up on a border somewhere and try to make my application that way. But because of my wife, and you should be thankful for my wife, because she is actually sponsoring me to become an American citizen. And so I had to bring her proof of her identity when I go. And we go to Norfolk, Virginia. If you want to come, it's great. There's no room in the room. They told us that. You can't bring your big family come with you, but I'm sure they can make an exception for you folks if you wanted to come. But I have to take my test and so forth. But there is no citizenship on the documents that they gave me. And my grandchildren, by the way, are the ones that helped me with my test preparation. They sent me a whole stack of flashcards that I use. And if any of you would like to take the test, you're certainly welcome to do it. They help me. They sit there and they read the flashcards to me and I answer my questions and so forth, so I'll be able to take my test and hopefully pass it successfully. They waived my English language requirement test, and they said I was okay in that area, so the only thing I have to do is take the civics test, and then I have to swear. I have to pledge allegiance to the country and the flag and so forth, as you do and as some people do in this country. I can even say the Pledge of Allegiance in French, and if we had time, I would do that for you, but I'll leave that for another time. But it allows me then to be able to, I had to bring along a picture of myself that is used for passport, and I probably won't get a passport on that particular day, but I'm allowed then to be a citizen, full citizen. And right now, I'm 98% allowed to do everything that you can do. The one thing I cannot do legally is to become president of the United States. I cannot do that because I was not born on American soil. My sons can, if they want to. But I cannot do that. That's why Henry Kissinger was never able to run for president. So this allows me then to have the documentation, to have the right to be able to stay in the country, to be able to have the protections that are afforded to American citizens by the American government, no matter where you are in the world. When my wife and I come back, and we come back internationally, sometimes they'll have a line, a queue for, when it comes back to immigration, a queue for American citizens and a queue or a line for everybody else. And so we have to separate. Problem in our world is that laws change. And if laws in immigration change, I would have to leave the country by the rules now. If they wanted to, they could say all Canadians out of the country in 24 hours, and I would have to go. I'd have no recourse. That is one of the conditions that I signed up for when I came to the United States. Even if I'm married to an American and I'm a permanent resident alien, that's what I'm called. You didn't know that. I keep my antennas folded back. But I am a permanent resident alien. But when I, having gone through all the process and all the steps and all the things that needed to be done, I will have a document that says that I'm an American citizen, just like someone who's born on American soil. And that's a great thing. Because then there are certain rights, there are certain things that I can do that any other American can do. I'm no different. Even though I was not born here, I don't have any territorial rights. My parents were not from here, my grandparents and so forth, but I have all the rights that are given to me because of the way that the law is structured. Brother Branham is telling us the same thing here. He's telling us that you were born in this earth. You were not born in that kingdom and came to this kingdom except in the attributes of God. But the new birth is that process that allows you to stand as a true son or daughter of God. And with that right comes all of the privileges and the blessings and the backing of everything in that kingdom stands behind you. So if I go over to another country, if I have my passport for America and I go to another country and war breaks out, they're responsible to come and find me. I got to let them know if I'm in the country, but they will send the army to come and find me and bring me out. That's pretty neat. Right now, I'd have to call them up and say, hey, I got my wife with me. You better come and get her. She's an American. And wherever she goes, I'll go too. I'll say, hey, I happen to be going to the airport too. You know, why don't I jump on? But they have no responsibility to protect me or rescue me, no matter where I am in the world, even if I'm a permanent resident alien or whatever else. There's a difference in the status. But they would come and get her. You'd at least have a piano player. Even if you didn't have a pastor, you'd have a piano player. She has all the protections that are afforded by the American government. Brother Branham's telling us exactly the same thing. He said, we're not ashamed of the Word of God, nor ashamed of His commission, nor ashamed of who we are. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Can you say amen? The only shame that I am is that I'm a Branham, and at my earthly birth, I'm ashamed of my failures. I'm ashamed of my past. But as His servant, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of His Word. Say it today with me. I'm not ashamed of His Word. Say it again. I'm not ashamed of His Word. Whether it's denominations, kings, potentates, or whatever else, just be ready to give an answer. God calls for it. God actually calls for you to give an answer. God calls for you to witness this truth. God calls for you to be able to reflect what it is that God has given to you. But God doesn't like it when people who are shorter than 4 feet boss them around. God doesn't like it when you tell Him how you're going to be healed. I said, God doesn't like it when you demand from Him, you're going to heal me this way. Or you're going to deliver me right now. God doesn't like it when people who are shorter than 4 feet give Him orders and tell Him what to do. Or tell Him, I've got an idea of when and how you're going to answer prayer. Now, it is a good thing for us to ask God. There's lots of examples like this. The word ask is found thousands of times in the Scripture and in the Message. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. It's a good thing for you to ask things of God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And go to God. Go to God with confidence. Go to God believing that He hears you. There are some people that you know, came to Jesus and they said, Lord, if it's possible, would you do this? And Lord, if you don't mind, would you do this? And they came on a certain level of faith. And then there's other people that came to Jesus and they said, Lord, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. That's another level of faith, isn't it? But Jesus answered them all. But he taught us there is a right way to come to him. And Jesus remarked to people who had great faith and they had great confidence. Not because they had confidence so much in themselves, but they had confidence in who this was and who was actually making the promise and who was actually going to fulfill the word. That's what they had faith in and confidence in. And Jesus remarked that, like that centurion who came to him. And Jesus recognized, wow, I've not seen this level of faith. No, not even in Israel, among God's people. Now, over in the book of Joshua, here's an interesting little principle that we find. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? And these are the stones that they piled up in the River Jordan as a monument. On the banks of the River Jordan, they took 12 stones, one for each tribe. And they sent a representative from every tribe to pick up a stone out of the river and made a monument there. And they said, let this stand for a memorial through time so that you'll always remember what God did here on the River Jordan. And Joshua instructs them and says, here's how you ask. You come like a child would come to your father and ask the question, and then your father will answer and say, then shall ye let your children know Israel came over in this land, dot, dot, dot. And it goes on to tell the story. If you're going to come to God, don't come to God like you're the boss. Come to God like he's your father. He's one you can ask and believe that he will respond. That's the way to come to God. You'll find this principle in many, many places in the Scripture. You say, are you sure? Well, let me give you an example, all right? Here's Brother Branham in 1965. He's got less than a month to live on the earth. Listen to what he says. Dear God, I lay my hands upon my brother here and ask for his healing. He's not talking to Satan. He's talking to Father God. And he's asking for something that he knows that God can do. But he's not laying hands on this brother and say, Lord, I command this. I command you to move on behalf of this brother here. Doesn't do that. He's only got a month left in his earthly ministry. And he's asking God, if you don't mind, Lord, would you do something here? I'm not here to tell you what to do. But Lord, this is what you told us to do, to lay hands on one another and they shall recover. Again, paragraph 269. Father, I bring before you this night this our sister and lay my hands on her to witness that I'm standing as a witness of your strength and of your visions and of your word. And I'm a witness that you are God. And I lay hands upon her in obedience to the word of my God and ask for her healing. Do you know there are thousands of statements just like that? Thousands of them. Because Brother Branham didn't walk in and say, all right, now, this is my show. And I'm here to tell everyone what to do. I'm here to throw Satan out, and I'm here to tell the people what to do, and the ministers what to do, and I'm here to tell the Holy Spirit what to do. He didn't do that at all. Brother Branham went into this kind of a state of submission when that angel came around. He went into this kind of a mode where now he said, he directs this meeting. He's in control. Someone told me, Brother Branham said in private conversation, he said that that angel sometimes would dress up in a suit like a man and sit in the audience and direct the entire meeting from where he sat. Is that possible? I wouldn't doubt that. 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So therefore, we have to come before him. We have to come before him correctly. Because faith has its basis in rest. Faith does not have its basis in knowledge. Faith does not rest upon attendance. Faith does not rest in determination. Faith rests in rest. When you have a rest with God, and you know, I am a child of God. I believe His Word. I trust Him. I believe His Word. I believe the standards of His Word. And I claim, as Brother Branham said, I claim Jesus' Word is right. Claim your God-given privileges. And the devil hasn't got any privilege. One legal power over any believer stripped away at Calvary. Jesus Christ robbed him of everything he had and gave every believer a checkbook with his name signed on the bottom. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I'll do. Your personal property. And Lord, I need healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And use that name of Jesus and stand back. Because you're not the healer. Neither was Brother Branham the healer. But God is the healer. And he said the whole bank of heaven will declare it righteous. The whole bank of heaven will stamp approved on that because it's going to clear through the bank of God's deposit that was made against you, the infirmities of your flesh and everything else. And it's your property. It's your right to be able to do that. But I will tell you something. If you don't have rest that there's money in the bank, you're going to be reluctant to write a check. If you're not confident that there's money in the bank, if you're not sure it's there, you're going to be reluctant to write a check. It's important for you, it's important for you to have this rest and this peace that what this says is actually true. And if it's true, I've got resources I can draw from. I don't know if you've cashed that check yet, Noah, the one that you got there. You're kind of saving it, right, because of the signature that's on it. But wouldn't it be a shame if Noah had a need, like he needed a nose job or something like that, and he really needed that because, you know, he's 87 years old, not married yet, and he really needs to get some renovations done. And he's got the resources, but he doesn't use them. What a shame that would be. What a shame that would be for us. And I imagine I could go around the room here and ask for a show of hands. There's probably every one of us that would have a need in some way or another, either an emotional one, a physical one, or a financial one, or a job one, or whatever else. Most of us would have a need. And to be able to have a need and hang on to the need instead of using the resources you have to meet that need, what a shame that would be. Don't get quiet on me. I get real nervous when you get quiet on me. What a shame that would be if we have resources and we don't utilize those resources to meet the need that we have. And sometimes, you know, we say, well, Lord, I've prayed. And there are times when, you know what, He wants you to come back again. And He wants you to come back again. He wants you to be like that friend that knocked at the door at midnight and just asked over and over again and came to Him and wanted to have something at nighttime. If you don't mind, let's take your Bible to Luke chapter 11. I don't have this on the screen here, I don't think. But look, just look in Luke here with me. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. It's a great chapter, but just a couple of the highlights here. The disciples looked at Jesus and they listened to Jesus. They saw what followed Jesus and they simply said to Him, teach us to pray. It's not the volume of your prayers. It's not the length of your prayers. But there's something about your prayers that I want to tap into and teach me how to do that. And He simply says to them, Our Father which art in heaven and so forth, Thy will be done on in heaven as it is on earth. So we want to have in our lives and in our world here something that matches that. We want the match. We don't want to live out of sync with God. We don't want to live out of harmony with God. But you let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend that shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. Hey, these are words in red. Right? So listen now, Jesus is teaching us something here. He said, the door is now shut, my children are with me in the bed, and I cannot give to thee. And in the houses in the Middle East, they would be laying probably in cots or on the floor, on blankets or pillows, and they would be lined up against the door, and it would be a difficult thing to stir everybody and get this up. In other words, Jesus is conveying that it's not always an instant response here. It's not always, yeah, knock, yeah, the door's open. But I say unto you that He will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So the good men of the house can be touched by the reality of the situation here. He can be touched. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So Jesus is not telling us not to ask. He's saying to ask. And there are times when we ask with desperation. There's times we ask with tears. There's times when we ask God very seriously and very sincerely. And there's nothing at all wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with asking God again and asking God again. In verse 11, if a son ask bread of you, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, until he give him, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Attend church? To them that go to Brother Bram's graveyard, excuse me, and get a handful of dirt? You got to ask him. How do we ask him? Ask him like a son comes to the father and says, Lord, I got a need. I got something here and I don't understand it. Can you help me? Can you help me understand? Can you help me receive this? Lord, I have need of this. And this, I want this in my life and I want that in my life and I want to be just like you. I want to be just like the Father. I want to do it like the Father does. And when we come to him with that askance, when we come to him with that supplication, and we ask him those things there's something about that that touches the heart of God, that helps or allows him to respond to the petitions of his people. But let's not stop there in that chapter, if you don't mind. Verse 11. I'm sorry. If we go down to 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone, that the dumb spake, and the people wondered. And some of them said he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said, every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. It is brought to desolation, and a house divided itself shall not fall. Now these are people that are not petitioning him. These are people that are challenging him. And there's quite a difference between a challenge and a petition. Verse 24. And the unclean spirit's gone out of a man and so forth. And he describes all of this and how this all works in the spiritual realm. We come all the way down through the end of the chapter here. All the way right down to the very end. And this is the thing that Jesus picks up from these people that are confronting him. Because this is the opposite of how you come to God. And he says in 52, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge, and ye have not entered in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak. It's quite a different thing when you're provoking somebody. You children come to your parents I know this is being streamed, so I got to be very careful. But I have grandchildren. I may have mentioned that. I have grandchildren, and one of them has a habit of asking me, Poppy, can we go out and dig holes in the backyard? That's her favorite thing to do. It's like a landmine. It's a field of landmines out there. Can we go out and dig holes in the backyard? Sure. Just give me a minute. I got to do something. Poppy, what? Can we go out and dig holes in the backyard? Yeah, I said just a minute. Poppy, can we go out and dig holes in the backyard? I said we will. Poppy, can we go out and dig holes in the backyard? In a minute. Poppy. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of... Pretty soon, it's not a question anymore. It's a provocation. It's a cause for physical violence after a while. I'm only joking. But it's almost like a fear that Poppy's going to forget. Now, Poppy does. Poppy does forget. Sometimes I forget their name. That's why I number all my grandchildren. But I will tell you something. the reason why a child will do that very often is because they're afraid that what they actually asked for will not get acknowledged. It will not get responded to. That somehow or another, I'm going to be forgotten in this process. Somehow or another, there's going to be something else that comes up that's more important than me and my request. And so therefore, I got to keep this in the front burner. I got to keep asking. I got to keep asking. Isn't that true sometimes of how we come to God? You know, we feel like it's almost like a fear that we don't feel like God's got it. We don't feel like God is actually going to acknowledge or going to respond or going to act on what we ask for. But you got to understand, when it comes to this family that Jesus is describing, and he's talking about the opposite end of the spectrum where they came and they provoked him to say things and they provoked him to anger. But in the family of God, you have to think about it this way, that I'm an only child. And I can come to God and he hears me. I'm not an only child because we're members of a body. But let me tell you something. When you give your petitions to God and you ask God in faith, he hears you. And he understands. And he doesn't forget. Even if he doesn't respond immediately, he doesn't forget. Because people want to get married. And they feel like it's got to happen now because I do not want to blow out 17 candles on my cake single. And I've been a bridesmaid enough that I don't want to be a bridesmaid anymore. And here I am turning 18. And we feel like it's got to happen right now. But let me tell you, God's timing is perfect. And it's much... Look, the problem is not in God. The problem, the issues are not in God. He has a plan. He already stated he now has a plan for us. He's predestinated us. He called us and chose us. He brought us into the faith and the light of the hour. He's given us many great blessings and many great things that we can enjoy. Let me tell you something. He doesn't forget those requests that you bring to him in faith. You just have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Or if we could only, I'm running out of time, but just let me introduce this and then we'll drop back to it again. Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God the Most High, unto God that performeth all things for prophets? No, for me. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You ought to take that scripture and own it. You ought to possess that scripture and embrace it. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You ought to take that scripture next time you have a petition, you need to come to God and say, Lord, this is what David did, and this is what I'm doing. I got a quote up the road here where Brother Branham says that what he did, what God did for Hattie Wright, he will do for you. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Matthew 19, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So to me, that kind of, that's two bookends on this whole issue of what we have need of in life. That he is the God who performs all things for you, and he's the God who can make it happen no matter how impossible it seems. Look, forgive me for a minute for diverting here. In the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 12. If you don't mind, just flip over there for a second here. Acts chapter 12. Yeah. This is the story of Peter in the prison. Peter's locked up. Times are not good. Because we have a leader in office who is a nut. He is a violent nut. And look at what it says about him in the first few verses there. And about this time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. It doesn't even say why. But he's vexing. In other words, he's persecuting. He's pressuring. He's disrupting the church. And he killed. This is not just a smear campaign now or a bad website. He killed the brother of James with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, He proceeded further to take Peter also. These are the days of unleavened bread. Wow. You think you got it bad in our country now? I mean, some people feel like they got it bad. Here's a leader who kills one of the leaders of the church, a disciple of Jesus, with a sword publicly, who makes it a habit to vex the church. And then, besides that, polls the people and says, is there an outcry? I mean, are people upset? No. The Jews seem to like this. Well, hey, who else is on the list? Who's a priority in this church? Peter, grab him. And you know what? They're not going to make Peter, manager of Walmart. They're going to, if they kill James with the sword, they're going to kill Peter. And he's doing it because the people seem to like it. They respond well to this. Wow. So times are rough. Peter's in jail. He's in a cell. And he's on the floor in that cell. Most of those prisons you couldn't stand up in anyway. There were holes in the rocks. And he's laying on the floor with a soldier chained to him here and a soldier chained to him here. It is impossible for Peter to get out. He can't get out. Listen to me now, what I'm going to tell you. The Bible says that while Peter is in that spot, and he can't do a whole lot, there's a whole bunch of people down at John Mark's house praying for him round the clock. They're petitioning God on behalf of Peter. Peter can't do a thing. So in the middle of the night, this angel stands there, and he rouses Peter and says, get up. And the Bible says that Peter got up, shook the chains off him, and he stands there looking at this and he's rubbing his eyes because he thinks it's a vision. Whoa, is this for real? He's pinching himself, he's looking at this, and he's standing there. Now, remember now, it was impossible for Peter to get out. And he's looking at this, and the angel says, come on, follow me. So Peter walks behind the angel. He's going like this, and he's walking past the guard table, right? And he's going through the prison like this. And the Bible says they stand in front of a door, and the door just swings open. They walk through. And Peter's not doing a thing. You know why? Because he's in an impossible circumstance, and he can't make that happen. So God comes on the scene and makes it happen. I'm not done. Brother Branham one time, he went into a grocery store with his wife. And he stood in front of the door one time. I think it was a Safeway. And he stood in front of the door and the door swung open. And he'd never seen that before. It was kind of a new invention in his day. And the door just automatically opened, you know, because it has a sensor. And he stopped back and he said to his wife, hey, the Bible had this first. That's what he said. And so Peter walks through the door. He's getting used to this, right? He's going to the door. And so he's out in the street. And he's... And where does he go? He goes to the prayer meeting. He goes to church, right? Because they're all still praying for him. They don't know what's happened. But God has done what Peter couldn't do. God has done what Peter couldn't do. So Peter goes down to the door of John Mark's house, and guess what he does? He stands in front of the door. What happens? Nothing opens. Hello? He's standing in front of the door. So he knocks on the door, and somebody opens the door. And she screams, or some reaction, like Sister Madeline over here. And just, whoa, it's Peter! And she runs into the house and tells everybody. I got a question for you. Why didn't God open that door? God opened all the other doors to get him out of there, but not this door. He's standing in front of the door, nothing opens. You have to admit it's rather dangerous for him to be out in the street because he's supposed to be in the prison. He's standing in front of that door and it doesn't open. I'm paraphrasing the whole story. You can look at it there in the book of Acts chapter 12 and you can read it. Let me give you this little principle. In this life, God does not open every door for you. God does not do every single thing for you. There are some things He wants you to do. There are some things that He wants you to... There are doors that He wants you to open. There are things that He wants you to put your hand to and actually do it. But there are some things that He knows are impossible for you, and He will do them. Peter could not unhook himself in those chains and leave alive from between those guards. But Peter served a God that performeth all things for me. But then he comes to a door that doesn't open because he's standing there. But he can open it, or someone else can open it that's right there. And you know what? That's why we need one another, to be able to do things for one another. And when we come to a place where things are impossible, let me tell you, God very often will move on your behalf. Sometimes you've gotten good advice from this pulpit. Sometimes you've gotten good advice from your doctor. Isn't that right? Come on. Sometimes you've gotten good advice from your teacher or your boss or somebody else. You know, a change that you can make. And you think, well, you know, I don't need to take that. I mean, I'm going to wait for God to do this. And God's given you the advice. God's given you the way. And there are things that you can do for yourself. And we want to stand before every door and let God open every door. And in the Bible, the principle is that God does not open every door, but God makes a way for us to get where we need to go. But some of those doorknobs you need to put your hand on and you need to open it yourself. But I believe this, that when we get into impossible situations, when we get into situations like Peter was in, where he was chained, bound, doors are locked, no way out, God looks at that and says, I am the God that performeth all things for you. Here's what you need to do in closing. Here's your takeaway. You need to put your name in this verse and say, I cry unto God. How many of you have a need in your life? Say this, I will cry unto God Most High, the God that performeth all things for Ethan or Joseph. Go ahead and put your name in that slot there and believe that God performs all things for you. God is watching over the whole thing. And the doors you can't open, you watch, God will open those. You watch the things that you can do and God will put you right in front of them. And you know what? He urges us. He wants us to be able to take your faith, take your sword and use that. Go ahead and take the resources I've given you. Take the understanding I've given you. Take the application. You know what? In all my years of baptizing people, I've never been in the pool with somebody and the Holy Spirit come and elbow me out of the way and say, I'm going to do this. I've never seen the Holy Spirit grab somebody by the lapels and drag them up here to the front. He gives us the word, and He wants us to act in faith on that word, believing it's true. Do you believe that? He does not need to come down and take a check out of your checkbook and make it out and hold it in front of you and say, sign! He doesn't have to do that. But we know tithing is right. So by faith we pay that, not even fully understanding how it all works. But somehow or another, because it's a commandment of God and in obedience to God, I'm going to do that. But I've never seen God come down and take a check out of my checkbook and pay tithes when I've forgotten to do it. He's never done that because He wants you to do that. Could He do it? Absolutely. He could take all the checks, right? But there's some things He puts in your hands. By grace, He puts in our hands. By grace, He wants you to receive the blessing. By grace, He wants you to have the experience of being an overcomer. By grace, He wants you to receive the joy of answered prayer. To ask God things, that your joy may be full. God wants you to pursue Him. God wants you to ask Him. God wants you to ask Him in the right way. God wants you to petition Him. God wants you to approach Him in the right way. And to come respectfully and honorably and all the rest of it there and come to Him. But you got to remember, at the end of the day, He is the God that performeth all things for you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. He's God who cares about you. He's a God who understands. And it's amazing as we look at this and begin to explore this a little bit further. It's amazing how much in reality He does for you. The work of the Holy Spirit is extensive. Because Brother Branham says, you can't even have an interest in God. You can't even come to God except the Holy Spirit begins to stir in your life. So He's the one who actually stokes the fire and blows on it to make the flames grow a little bit big. And He's the one that all the way right down to the very end of your life, He's the one that's going to escort you to your place in His kingdom on the other side. It's absolutely incredible how many statements I've got behind this statement here that tell what the work of the Holy Spirit is. He is very, very interested in you. He is very, very keen on making sure you get to the right place. And he's also very keen on making sure you don't get to the wrong place. Because he loves you. And he cares for you. Amen. I have a maker, and he knows my name. Let's sing that this morning. I have a maker. He formed my heart. And before even time began, my life was in his hand. Jaren, you come on up here. He knows my name. Do you believe that today? Yes, he does. He knows my every thought. And he sees each tear that falls. And he hears me when I call. Times when we can ask if anybody, you know, has a request and needs a touch, and you can raise your hand right from where you are. There are times when people will come and have hands laid on them. All of that is scriptural. Not a thing in the world wrong with it. Brother Branham said there are times when people can just receive the word and the Holy Spirit can heal them right where they're sitting. Sometimes just different ways, but the end is always the same. We have a Father who cares. We have a Father who knows your name. We have a God who will perform all things concerning me. And if we have, let me tell you, if you know that that's true, you're going to be quicker to write a check on that account. If you have God standing behind that check, you're going to be quicker to write it in faith, with confidence, because you know he's a God of, he takes care of things for me. He watches over me. So if you have a need today, I'd be glad to pray with you. that's always an open thing here. If I can pray for you, I'd be glad to do that. Let's sing it this morning.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, long just to bring something that's for work that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we are a people who love routines. We love church to start at a certain time and end on a certain time. We love to sit in the same pew all the time. We're a people of routine. We're a people, Lord, who gain a certain amount of security and consolation in routines. And that's normal. But Lord, we're also asking that sometimes when our routine becomes the thing that holds us back because we don't want to break out of that habit, then Lord, I pray you would send whatever you need to send to shake us. May we be shaken. Like Brother Branham in 1965 was shaken and said, what I'm looking for is a higher faith, a greater faith. Lord, inspire us, I pray, to climb a little higher on the ladder. Come a little closer to you, Lord. And those things, in a sense, they sound simple. But sometimes, Lord, we scratch our head and wonder why it isn't happening. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would just come and shake us and move us, Lord. We need to get alone with you, Lord. We need to cry out to God like David did. And have those experiences of slaying the lion and the bear. And then, Lord, when the public test comes, when the public trial comes, then we have confidence in facing the Goliath that lays out there. Father God, I just pray now for the people. And Lord, in this simple sermon, the simple way of saying it, I just ask that you would just draw near to them, each one of them, Lord. And may you be personal. May you be real. And Lord, let us come back to the heart of worship, the heart of things. And the heart of the matter is your word. The heart of the matter is Calvary. The heart of the matter is the simplicity of the gospel. And Lord, I'm just asking that you would just inspire us. And Lord, may we look at things. Because we are a people, Lord, who live in faith and we walk in faith. And we're asking, Lord, for your help and guidance. Minister, Lord Jesus, to those especially who are listening today who need a touch from you, I commit them into your care. Be the healer you are to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Let's sing it this morning. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's human. Jesus Christ, His Son. He's given Jesus.
just want to be where you are.
You go this morning, and may the Lord richly bless you. If you're able to be here tonight, I'd encourage you to come tonight to be here. I want you now, just as we bow our heads again, just to say, Lord, if it's true that with you all things are possible, then Lord, help me to be a doer of this word and not just a hearer of this word. Lord, let that sink down and become a reality for me. That it becomes something tangible, something I can touch. An event or an encounter I can point back to and say, that's where you moved. That's where you healed me. That's where you touched me. Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that you would brood over us in a special and personal way as only you can. In this atmosphere of faith today, Lord, may your presence just be very real in every heart. Stir within us a passion, Lord, to face the enemy. And not, as Brother Branham said, apologetically, that we come hesitantly in front of our enemies, but Lord, that we would come with boldness and courage and confidence that all the powers of heaven stand behind us. But Lord, when we come to you, we come with askance. We come with humility. We come into your courts softly. Like a father would come to his son and petition him. Lord, may we always, always be sensitive about our approach to you. And now I give you this people, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would rest upon each one. And Lord, we can't help but think about those who are in pain and those who are hurting today. We think of Sister Angela and her mother, Lord. And I just ask that you would just be gracious and intercede in that situation, Lord. Give them what they have need of, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for creating such a lovely atmosphere here today. God bless you as you go. Lord, I come to you.
Waters, oh my soul, Lord.